you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This Ben Jarofsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 and District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
Bonus time in the Ben Jarofsky Show as I speak. It's Thursday, April 2nd, 2020. The headlines in the paper, you know what the headlines are saying. We're screwed, man. This COVID-19 thing is no joke, and grim growth, that's what the headline in the Chicago Sun-Times is. COVID-19's grim growth is talking about the death rate, the number of deaths, excuse me, in Illinois reported day by day. So that's kind of a grim topic. It's a grim time, but we're carrying on from my attic overlooking the Brown Line, and so we're keeping up the good fight. As we always do in the bonus show, I ask my distinguished guest to introduce himself. So, distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Thank you. Happy to be here. My name is Miles Camp Laffin. I'm a web editor at In These Times magazine. I'm also just a general writer, journalist, enthusiast, etc.
And longtime listener.
I'm very happy to be here.
And longtime listeners of the Ben Jarofsky Show are saying, hey, wait a minute. That's the same Miles Camp Lassen who's on the Ben Jarofsky Show every Thursday. Yes, it is, longtime listeners. You're very smart and you're very observant.
That's correct.
And thank you, Bob Mueller. And we just decided to switch things up with with the new arrangement. So we figure, we'll interview Miles on Thursday like we always do and drop it on Saturday. So folks waking up at 6 in the morning, I won't be one of them, Miles. We'll be clicking on this and downloading it, and you'll be a Saturday hit for them. All right, Miles, let's see. We've already done a lot of talk today about Bernie being on The View. We've talked about whether he's trying to sneak Medicare for All by. I'd love to get your thoughts about Bernie Sanders, the Bernie bashing that's going on in America today. And anybody who's heard Miles on the show knows that he's a huge supporter of Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders was on The View television show. I'm losing track of time, whatever it was. Wednesday it would have been. Miles, the Bernie bashing is going on. It's like Democrats are all gearing up to blame whatever happens in November, if it's bad, on Bernie Sanders. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, yes, of course, I do think that right now Bernie Sanders is by far the best candidate for this moment. And in that sense, I'm a big supporter of him. But really, what I'm a supporter of and have always been is of the type of movement that his campaign now has really summoned and represents, which is a movement for making economic rights into human rights. So things like implementing Medicare for All, universal healthcare system, providing a living wage for all workers, providing workers the opportunity to unionize and have more democracy on the job, and to, actually deal with the power structure in American society, which for so long has given corporate interest a stranglehold over the working class in this country. And that's kind of what Bernie has been running on. That's been his agenda. That's why grassroots groups across the country have unified and coalesced behind his campaign. Of course, we're in a very different situation right now than we were a few months ago, not just because, Joe Biden has a large delegate lead and appears to be the presumptive nominee, but also because we're in the midst of a global pandemic that has shaken to the core, what we have held to be truths in American politics for so long. And, you know, if you look at this election, it's an election without elections. These states are all postponing their primaries. New York's not even going to have their primary until late June. The DNC just announced they are postponing the actual Democratic convention from July to August. We'll see what that even looks like at that point, you know, whether that's going to be a virtual convention, what it will actually be. But I think what's most important right now is that we are able to see a pathway towards a different vision of how we enact policies and how we approach politics in this country than what has been represented by the Trump administration, which has just been, as I've said, not just a criminally negligent approach to this crisis, but by far like complete ineptitude. You know, these are people that just today now, you know, Trump has announced, his administration announced they're going to change guidelines to say all Americans should wear masks whenever they leave the house. Well, you know, with a week ago, a literal week ago, not to mention months ago, Trump was scoffing at the idea of anybody wearing masks, yeah. You know, saying that didn't help. Now the CDC is about to say everybody should be wearing one at all times. This is just, and if you look at what happened also yesterday, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, he finally embraced a lockdown, much like DeSantis, another Republican governor in Florida. But Kemp said it's because he found out within the past 24 hours that asymptomatic people could also spread it, as if this was some news. We've known that for weeks. But the problem is that they've gotten no direction from the Trump administration, because the Trump administration is treating this crisis like, you know, they're just making it up as they go. They have no plan. And the real issue, and to get back to the Bernie side of things, is that, you know, what Joe Biden has been pushing forward and what the Democratic establishment has been pushing forward for so long is a return to normalcy. You know, their whole campaign has been built on, we just need to get rid of Trump. Republicans are going to, you know, see the light of day and want to compromise again. We can get back to, you know, Obama era style politics. Well, whether or not you wanted to vote for big structural change or, you know, fundamental change in this country, doesn't matter, because it's coming. It's here. Look at the job report today. We've got 6.6 million people filing for unemployment on top of the 3.3 million from last week. So that's 10 million people now out of work. Of course, that's a record in American history. The fundamentals of American politics, society, you know, the economy has changed, and it's not because of politicians, it's because our economy has kind of fallen in on itself. So in order to deal with that, I think we need a different approach to politics, one that says, as I said earlier, that economic rights are human rights, that people are, you know, have a right to healthcare, to housing, to education, to a dignified life. And I don't see that being represented yet, at least by the campaign of Joe Biden, or just, you know, generally in the Democratic establishment's response. So that's why I think it's still very important for Bernie Sanders to get his message out, whether or not, you know, he's going to be treated like a legitimate candidate. And we could talk about how he was treated on The View yesterday.
All right. Before we get to back to The View and Biden, you raised a lot of issues there. And let me just take a moment here. So often when I speak to my guests who are leftists, we immediately start bashing Biden, which is easy for me to do. I always like to take a moment to pause and think about the political environment we were in with the Republican Party. And you just did a riff, Miles, that was very illustrative. Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, the man in charge of the health and well-being of millions of Georgians, did not know until today that you could be a carrier of the disease and show no symptoms. Yeah. I knew that.
Spread it.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that. I barely passed chemistry at Evanston High School. They were so nice to move me on just because they were sick of seeing me. I knew that. Anybody who reads the newspaper knew that. Republican Party is so twisted and demented. It's as though everything they see out there is put through the lens of how will it impact Trump. And so this threat of the coronavirus of COVID-19 was viewed as a threat to Donald Trump's reelection. So they spent the better part of the last 2 to 3 months denying that existed and ripping anybody that dared to suggest that we were ill-prepared for it. And they're still doing it. There's a pastor in Florida, I can't get over this, Miles, who is fighting for the right to have church services. He says he will go to jail over this. I've not heard Donald John Trump say one word. He's got the power of the pulpit, Miles. He could really let that pastor have it with a couple tweets. Not one word. They're so afraid of their evangelical base. And so I always just like to frame any discussion I have about where the Democrats are going and who their candidate should be and what message they should put forth by just exposing the lunatics who have taken control of the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, it's not just that pastor. DeSantis, in fact, the governor of Florida, by all accounts, the only reason that he decided now to order this stay-at-home order, this lockdown, was because Trump personally called him and said, you got to do this. And, you know, they're tied at the hip. Trump is in many ways the reason that DeSantis got elected in the first place. But what he also said, and so this should be a national scandal. I mean, needless to say, we're in a true crisis right now. When we come out of the other side of this, there must be a reckoning, you know, to deal with what has happened here. I mean, it just shows the Republican Party in so many ways is essentially a death cult. You know, these are people that DeSantis said he wants to continue with there being large church services on Easter. He said he sees no problem with that because people can, you know, be close to 6 feet away from one another. Well, that goes against the whole idea of social distancing. It's not that you just need to be 6 feet and you're safe. It's that if you absolutely have to be out of your house, at least maintain 6 feet. Now, there's a new study out from MIT today or yesterday that says actually this virus can travel at least 27 feet. And it can stay in the air for hours, you know, in droplets. And so the idea that bringing masses of people together for a church service in, you know, within a couple weeks is something that is tolerable. This is what, you know, the Republican Party is putting out. And they had their beaches full. I mean, this is the thing, is that you look at what happened in Florida up until today, you know, really, the beaches were full. And these aren't just people that are Floridians. These are people from all over the country that then are traveling back. You know, they're leaving their spring breaks. They're traveling and spreading this disease across the country. It's the opposite of how every other country. I mean, there's no doubt that the United States within the developed world has by far the worst response to this virus. And it is because of just the complete mismanagement by the Trump administration.
Okay. Yeah. So it's really important for everybody to keep what you're saying in context when you view what's the Democratic approach, the Democratic Party's approach to how to defeat Trump and save us from this lunacy, which brings me back to Bernie Sanders' appearance on The View, which I have absorbed good chunks of it, Miles. And the central conceit raised by Whoopi Goldberg and the other hosts of The View is that Bernie should get out and his supporters should line up to support Joe Biden. And essentially, they should just shut up and go away and just put aside their childish whims to get things like Medicare for All and take whatever Joe will give you and be happy with it. And this was the theme of another essay I told you about by Joe Klein in the Washington Post, where he was ruminating about how when he was young and naive and impressionistic, he once voted against for Dick Gregory against Hubert Humphrey, and now he regrets it. So the attitude of Dems, Joe Klein, Whoopi Goldberg, is to treat people like you as though you're a child and that you're a baby and that you should shut up and man it up and do what they tell you to do. I do not think, Miles, that is a very, convincing way to get people like you or people who support Bernie Sanders to vote for Joe Biden. So what I'm asking you is, what recommendations would you give the Whoopi Goldbergs and Joe Kleins of the world maybe like a different message they could put out that would convince Bernie supporters to sign on with Joe Biden? What do you think you would like to hear them say that might be a little more convincing than shut the hell up and do what we tell you?
Well, words are cheap. I think that there's no doubt that there's a whole, you know, institutional side of the Democratic Party that would much rather, you know, that despises more purely the left wing of the Democratic Party than they do the right. You know, they're best encapsulated by, you know, Rahm Emanuel and his approach when he was, you know, in office working for Obama and, you know, just hated what he called the professional left, you know, and just would do anything possible to silence them, to talk down to them. And these are, you know, these are people representing working class interests, union leaders. You know, Rahm famously said, F the UAW when talking about the auto bailout, because he, you know, didn't believe that the union representing the workers should be at the bargaining table. He just wanted to run roughshod over it. This is the same type of, and part of the reason I bring up Rahm is because, you know, the View host, they love Rahm. They've had him on like multiple times in the past few weeks. You know, they think Rahm's the bee's knees.
That's funny. Our host loves Rahm.
He's just joking. Go ahead. He didn't mean to cut you off, Miles. Go ahead.
No, there's just what I would want to hear from them is how about you talk about the travesty of this country not having already 80 million people who are uninsured or underinsured, people that just can't access healthcare. Now there's 10 million more people unemployed. This is a complete, you know, inanity that we have a system where healthcare is tethered to employment, and then you know, put together a stimulus bill where all the incentives are for people, for employers to get lay off their workforces and for employees to be laid off so that they can get that unemployment, you know, insurance. Other countries, that just doesn't exist. You don't have to worry about healthcare with your job at all. That's just, you know, the norm everywhere. This is just a part of the American economic and healthcare system that just makes no sense, and all of those inadequacies are being put on full display now, and you can see that reflected in public opinion over, you know, in March, support nationally for Medicare for All rose to a 9-month high, and across every demographic, because people are realizing more and more when they see their health, you know, the Democrats might say, you know, if you like your health plan, you can keep it. Well, that's not true when you're one of the 10 million people that is now unemployed. You can't keep your health insurance. You're out. You just lost your health insurance. I don't, you know, whereas if you had Medicare for All, you would never lose it. That's the whole point, is that you don't it's not reliant on you having a job. So now we have this system, and Joe Biden is still out here talking trash on Medicare for All. He did it again today. He said, you know, oh, that's not a solution. That would never solve this. Well, tell that to the people who are now getting $1,000 bills just for getting tested for COVID-19 treatment. And maybe Joe Biden would say, well, I think testing should be free for that. Well, if testing for COVID-19 should be free, shouldn't testing for diabetes be free? Shouldn't testing for cancer be free? You know, how do you, you know, isolate single diseases as the only ones worthy of being covered by the government? Have Whoopi Goldberg talk about that. You know, like, I would want to hear these people grapple with the fact that this is not some, you know, hero worship on the left among Bernie Sanders. It's about wanting to actually change American politics so that working people have a leg up instead of getting left behind, as they consistently do under Republican and Democratic administrations. So I think that that's, you know, my real issue with that. It's not so much that I worry about them thinking that people like myself are naive or children or something like that. I worry about the fact that they're not listening to the voices of working people who are suffering and struggling. Those aren't the people that are getting featured on The View, unfortunately.
All right, let's talk about that for a little bit. People who are featured on The View. And we've had this conversation, I think, from time to time. I know I've talked about it on the show. The absence of the left on mainstream television, and for that matter, in the mainstream media. I'm used to living in my own little alternative world bubble. I've existed for the reader since the 80s, okay? So I realize I'm used to being segmented in the corner, the left corner of society. But I would have thought that if 30% of the Democratic Party is voting for Bernie, a popular television show like The View might put on a host, one of the, you know, they have the band of hostesses, somebody who like represents Bernie. We talked about this, I think, when we were talking about the George Stephanopoulos show. They got the right-wing Republican. They got Rahm, who's basically a Mitt Romney Republican. You got Chris Christie, who's a little to the right of Mitt Romney. And then you have one leftist. So I give them credit. But The View doesn't have anybody. Like, there's nobody in The View defending Bernie. So what is it with the mainstream? Go ahead.
I just don't think that there's just such an antipathy towards people who are, you know, vocal critics of the status quo, because all the incentives on that end are to maintain, you know, you don't want somebody, for one thing, if you're on a TV show that's, you know, on ABC or NBC or something, your network's getting tons of funding from pharmaceutical companies, from all the same type of corporate interests, which stand in the way of the type of policies that somebody like Bernie Sanders is promoting. When it comes to certain people, like, you know, they might have on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will, you know, be an outspoken advocate for left values. I mean, she's one of the best spokespeople that there are. But they don't talk to her so much about that. They want to talk to her about, you know, the things that are, you know, lifestyle issues or something like that. All the incentives are to against having people on who will call out systemic injustice, because in so many ways, it's not that the hosts themselves or the journalists are implicated personally in it, but the structure that they're part of, the job that they have, the place that they work for, the, you know, shareholders in the corporation that is, you know, paying for the set and for the cameras and everything. All these people are benefiting from a current system we have in place. The problem is that that system requires there to be people left out, and for people to, you know, not have access to health care, people to not have access to a living wage at their jobs. So I think that has to do with kind of like the power structure in the media. And, you know, that's the issue that has been in Americans for a very long time. We don't, much like other countries, unlike other countries, we don't have a strong public media sector. You know, so many other countries have, and sometimes there's issues around, like, you know, the state being too involved in the media, what have you, but at least it's free from corporate influence. We have, you know, very little of that. The way that people get their information in America is largely filtered through, you know, so these corporate media outlets. So I think that's the main reason that we don't see more of that. There's some, you know, examples, like The Hill has Rising. Crystal Ball, I think, is a great advocate. Alexandra Rojas with Justice Democrats is now on CNN. So there's some, you know, areas where there has been a beachhead made for leftist commentators. But by and large, I think there's still antipathy towards treating the concerns of people like me and you very seriously.
Well, I got to tell you, we had fun with this on the show. Because The View, in when they were promoting their show about that Bernie was going to be on, and they had that, like, the ominous voice saying, "We're going to have Bernie Sanders."
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Will he use the pandemic as an excuse to get your Medicare for all? I'm like, excuse? It's the reason we need Medicare for all. You know what, yeah. I mean? And that's what they asked him. Like, so people are saying, Senator, you know, they always go critics. I love it. Critics say that, you know, you're going to use this as an excuse. It's so wild. You know what I mean? Like, there's something wrong. The question just so shows such a bias.
They love to play ball game politics with it, you know, and say, like, oh, this is, you know, you're tit for tat. You know, you're trying to take advantage of this for your own good or something. It's like, look what Bernie Sanders is doing. He's literally every night, he's just hosting these online forums that amplify the voices of organizers, of, you know, people that work on public health, he is using his campaign as a vehicle now to lift up the voices of the people most impacted by this, airline workers, you know, restaurant workers. He had the head of the Restaurant Opportunities Center. These are people who are on the front lines who represent populations that are suffering the brunt of the consequences from this crisis. And it's treated as if he's, yeah, trying to take advantage of the coronavirus or something. It's madness when you think about it, but I'm not surprised, because that's kind of how this whole, if you look at how this whole election has gone, you know, I think one of the main reasons Joe Biden is in the position he's in now is because after South Carolina, you know, Joe Biden didn't do a single appearance, save for like, you know, talking for a few minutes on camera. And yet he got massive amount of, you know, earned media, supposedly this just, you know, free media that was all positive across all the networks. Then he gets endorsed by the other moderates in the race, and it's just this massive love fest. Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, they've been, as certainly in these times has covered for the better part of the past year, just if you look at it objectively, the media has been incredibly hostile to not just Bernie himself, but his staff, his, you know, surrogate, anybody who has tried to push forward the kind of redistributive platform that he's been running on. So I don't think, you know, The View, I think, is especially bad, but it's not an outlier. It's more representative of how the, you know, Sanders campaign and the movement he represents has been treated in the mainstream media wholesale.
All right, Miles, before we let you go, you mentioned In These Times. Why don't you tell folks what they could see in These Times, how they can get in These Times? What are some of the articles you've done recently, all that good stuff?
Sure. So, I mean, if you look on the inthesetimes.com, we've got a lot of great stuff out right now. We just published a piece on that issue of Medicare for All and how absurd it is that we have not had more Democrats come and see the light, you know, in the midst of this crisis, come around and say, hey, actually, you know, Medicare for All seems like a good idea. Instead, they're all, you know, staying out and refusing to really wrangle with the ramifications of this mass unemployment. We're also publishing a bunch of stories from our upcoming print issue early online. So if you visit our website, you'll see a bunch of that. We're also, you know, this is also an international crisis. As we know, one of the big issues going on right now is that the huge death toll is happening in Iran right now, a country that is under crippling sanctions from the United States, and that is keeping necessary medical supplies out. So we have a piece calling for, you know, pulling back of the sanctions on Iran as a humanitarian effort, a bunch of great stuff. So you should definitely check out inthesetimes.com. And yeah, as always, very happy that the Ben Jarofsky Show is still up and running, and give a shout out to The Reader, which is, you know, still one of the best institutions we have in the city. I just threw down like $50 to get myself one of the coloring books, hoping that comes in the mail. So yeah, if you've got some extra bucks right now, this is a time we need to show some support to the institutions that we love, small businesses, nonprofits, what have you. So I want to encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah, and I want to also thank you very much for saying that, Miles. The Reader, one of the other fundraising things we're doing, they've asked writers, myself included, to put together sort of like their greatest hits. And I've been really struggling with this one, Miles. I've been writing for The Reader for a long, long time. Before you were born, I was writing for The Reader. And so I'm going through the files, like, what, you know, which articles should I take? And, you know, trying to reduce it to like 10 articles. And it's just really blowing my mind going back in time. And most of the articles I'm looking about that I'm thinking of contributing are profiles. I think I'm going to start by doing profiles. So it's not so much my political work. But while I'm going through and looking at all these old articles, I'm seeing these political stories that I did from the 80s and 90s. I'm like, oh, my God, really nothing's changed, man. I mean, it's, you know, some of the same themes and some of the same laments and some of the same crusades and, you know, the same obstacles and the same patronizing. Or yeah, this is a little riff that I've been on ever since I've been critical of Joe Biden. on my show and in the reader. I've been subjected to all kinds of emails from, I call them Biden bros. They love Joe Biden. They passionately love Joe Biden, which is interesting. Of all the people in the world to love passionately, okay, to each his own. They are sensitive as Bernie bros are supposedly. I'm just putting that out there, Miles. If you really want to be subjected to some abusive emails and stuff, go write an article critical of Joey B and see the Joe Biden bros. But the point is, they remind me of Daily supporters back in the 90s when I would write articles critical about Daily. Oh, they get so upset and send me all these things. So, you know, some ways a lot hasn't changed, Miles, over the last 30 years.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I mean, one thing I will say about this moment, it's very scary. We don't know what's going to be on the other side of it. I think one thing we can be pretty certain of is that, you know, the world we return to after all of this will be different from the one we took shelter from. So I think we should, you know, expect that there's going to be change in our lives that brings with it a great peril, but also great opportunity. I mean, I think the world, the wheels of history are now in motion, and the world, you know, even with an Trump administration in power right now, there is opportunity to change our priorities as, you know, country, as the people, and try to restore some dignity to American life that has been, you know, cast down upon for so long. And that's one thing I think we should take out of this, is the not to lose hope that while so much seems impossible to change, especially while we're all, you know, stuck quarantined here, there's also a great opportunity to put newfound pressure on and you know, and show that this injustice is not the way that it has to be, that there's a brighter path forward. So I want everybody to kind of take that message out of all of this. It's not all doom and gloom. There's you know, there's a brighter horizon we can reach towards. And when it comes to those the trip down memory lane with your old stories, even if they don't make it into the reader collection, I hope you post those somewhere, because I'd love to see some of the Ben's greatest hits from the years.
Yeah, no, I will do that. It's inspired me in a different way to start bringing back some of these stories. And having a lot of sports stories, by the way. All right, Miles. Miles Konflassen from In These Times. He's on our show. He every week on our show, used to be every Thursday. The interview now takes place on Thursday, but you can hear him every Saturday on the Ben Jarofsky Show. Thanks again, Miles. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, very good. That's Miles. I'm Ben. Take care, everybody.